The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we'll be talking about NaNoWriMo. What's that? Listen and find out. I'll also be doing a review of the album by Grizzly Bear, Becca Teamest. What's that word? Listen and find out. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I am Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Well, hello, and welcome, everyone, to episode 36 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are living the good life right now. I mean, we got Ecto Cooler. We got our brand new Boldly Going Nowhere t-shirts.
Oh, man. I mean,
feel so sexy.
I was so excited when I got home today. Saw them in my UPS. Saw them in my UPS folder. Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Oh my god, I just cannot stop rubbing my chest right now. It feels exquisite.
I love the smell of factory. The factory smell that's on here. It is simply breathtaking.
Oh, it's just, it's beautiful. It's factory fresh. You can smell the assembly line.
The smell, the feel of the factory.
It's really got that new car scent going on.
More like Korean sweatshop, but...
That, you pretty much took it. I was going to be like, the poor little the sweat from 1,000 children working down the line.
Well, I don't know. If it makes you feel better, the company is based in Athens, Georgia, so I don't think there are any Korean sweatshirts.
Oh,
workers.
Thank God.
So I think we dodged a bullet on that one.
Just Georgians. Atlantans?
Yeah, Georgians.
No.
I don't know. They did Athens. Good work.
Athenians.
Athenians.
These I never thought cool. I'd get to hear that one.
These are the shirts of Greek gods. And you could have one too, you being the listener who's listening to this podcast right now.
What? I could have one?
Yes.
Because they all sound like that.
So basically, the design, it has Boldly Going Nowhere printed on the front with our little microphone symbol. And on the back, it says, it has our Facebook link, and it has Boldly Going Nowhere. Our little, tell us, what does it say, Colin?
On the back,
you designed the shirt.
The original design for the back was going to say, "Philistines and Luddites need not apply,"
which, as you know, is our slogan.
But also, I thought, you know what? Honestly, so little of our audience will actually know what Philistines and Luddites are. So I figured, you know, we'd go after last week's discussion. I figured we'd go with the Four Horsemen of the Nerdpocalypse.
Yes, so it says the Four Horsemen of the Nerdpocalypse on the back.
And also has that cute little microphone.
It's got the same little microphone symbol, which we should give him a name. He's so adorable.
Mike.
Mike the microphone.
Real original, Sean.
I'm sorry.
Way to think outside the box on that one.
Phil?
We can call him Mike O'Mara.
Mini O'Mara.
Mini O'Mara.
Mini O'Mara.
All right.
I sure call him Mini O'Mara.
You know what?
I sure call him Mini O'Mara.
Since we apparently suck at this, I'm gonna let's let the listeners.
Because Mike's awesome. Come on.
Do you want to make it a contest?
Yeah, a contest, or just, you know, email us your suggestions. Yeah, you could also, if you don't see the shirt, it's the same logo that's currently our, you know, our image on
our
website,
album cover,
our album art on the website and on Facebook. That little microphone. Email us at bgnpodcast@gmail.com. with suggestions for a name for him.
Yeah, then we'll keep the name.
Speaking of sending us emails about things, email us if you want to get a shirt, because we are only going to be doing them in orders of 12 or more. And if you email us, we'll give you more details about it and, you know, how you can get one of these sweet, sweet shirts.
Can I plug something on the page real quick?
Absolutely.
You can sponsor a show segment, which is really nice, in case you want to shout out like a happy birthday or you have a business or something that needs plugging. And what Ben?
Make sure you give the full detail how to get the information.
That's
to
what
us.
I'm going to do.
Okay.
I was just going to say, go to the internet. It should be there. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. No, actually, you can go to our page, Boldly Going... Oh, actually, it'll be a new URL by the time this comes out. It'll be castwavestudios.com.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. If not, it's boldlygoingnowhere@podomatic.com. We'll find out. Anyway.
Yeah. In 48 hours.
Anyway, when you get to the page, you'll at the right-hand side at the bottom, there should be a little picture link. It says sponsor a show segment. Click here. And you click there, and then another tab should pop up. And it's a PayPal site. And you can, you know, do it with your PayPal, or you can do it with a credit card. It's via the PayPal handles all the, you know, everything there. And then once you click checkout and you fill all your information and submit it, there's this one section called instructions to merchant. In that box, you fill out what you want to say. Say, like, you know, happy birthday, Johnny, piss off or something. And then it's all
good.
Try
to keep it clean, please.
Yes.
Try to keep it clean. We'll say whatever you want to say. And just, you know, just try to, you know. I mean, this is pretty... We're trying to clean it up as much as we can.
That being said, yeah, we have basically no shame, so... Whatever you're gonna do.
Yeah,
do
I let a few F-bombs drop in the...
Well, I believe...
In the next episode.
I believe we've already gotten at least one sponsor or show segment, haven't we?
Yes, it hasn't come up yet, but the Excess Energy drink, Evan Kidwell, so...
All yeah, right.
So that's it's awesome. You can find that on the show. I go through it pretty fast, just for the sheer fact that it's better fast, I think.
Yeah. I think it's time to move on to the next subject. I want to talk about a few things before we really dig into the meat and potatoes of this episode, too. So I wanted to touch on the latest episode of The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror. I don't remember which number it was because I really don't care anymore.
They got to be up to, like, what, 37 or something?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't even care anymore. This one wasn't funny at all. I'll be honest, The Simpsons doesn't have the funny edge anymore. I stopped watching it probably when I was 18, really, being a hardcore fan.
I don't really think The Simpsons has any edges left at this point. It's pretty much been sanded down into a nice, smooth, boring oval.
Though compared to reality TV, it's still some pretty funny television, comparatively.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the kids don't ever grow up. There's, I guess, what grade are they in now?
I don't know. It's
still,
like,
they're perpetually stuck in the fourth grade.
Which is just stupid. You know, Lisa's supposed to be this intelligent girl, and yet every year she's in the same grade.
It's like some freaky Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, I really don't like that. If they grew up and they evolved, they would have probably been a lot better.
They're doing
on the show.
What Charles Schultz of Peanuts did, and just kept them cycling the same old kids, and they're always staying kids, and it just
it lost its edge.
Simpsons should have did what Bill Watterson did. You know, quit it out when it was ahead.
Yeah.
No. Fox would have never let Matt Groening quit.
Do that.
No. I mean, like,
Futurama is still awesome, though. When it first premiered, it was a show before its before its time. You know.
Yeah.
Very few people got it. I mean, I thought it was all right when I
they had some new episodes this year too, by the way. Yeah. Which were all right.
I mean, they're only on season 5.
Yeah.
I think
it's that nerdy niche that Futurama goes for, and Simpsons is more like a general.
Simpsons used to fill it.
Yeah, not anymore.
They used to fill it. They just use Futurama for that now.
I mean, like, what was it? Simpsons stopped being funny like in 1998.
I would agree.
Yeah. For the most part, I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, the jokes.
I honestly can't enjoy them anymore.
Yeah, it stopped being hilarious at 1998. I do agree.
Yeah, I just lost interest. I can't even go back and watch the old ones anymore. I just instantly, it just doesn't kick in.
They ran out of stuff to do.
All right, so this latest Treehouse of Horror, what did they lampoon in this one?
Oh, they did one on the Avatar, which was the last episode, which I think was the best one out of all of them.
On Avatar, really?
Yeah, they had it with the green tentacle aliens instead.
Okay.
Yeah, and Bart Simpson actually gets late.
That's so 2000 and late.
Yeah. Yeah, Bart Simpson gets laid in that one. Yeah, he gets laid by a female tentacle.
They don't show it to
alien.
You.
They don't show it to you. It just shows the tentacles touch him, and he has some weird, like...
Time tunnel vision.
Yeah, time tunnel thing, and Krusty the Clown's father comes across and says, you have now just become a man, Mazel Tov.
You now become a man, Mazel Tov.
I mean, let's not forget that we did see Bart Simpson's penis in the Simpsons movie. So
I totally forgot about that.
It's really, it's basically microscopic. You know, there's that scene at the beginning where he's like on a skateboard and he's naked.
The Flanders is holding up a French fry that's blocking it.
No, but eventually, I think they show it for 1 second. Like,
I think they did.
Because the whole joke is that they keep covering it up, and they cover it up like, you know, 10 times. And you're like, okay, I get the joke. And then they actually show it for like a second. But I mean, it's like you can't even like see anything. It's stupid.
That's so funny.
Okay, and just finishing up this, so I want to get this over with. The first thing was with Homer Simpson. He was supposed to donate candy to like some the troops, but he ends up taking it to this like one point and getting stuck in a crevice and has to eat his arm off to free himself.
Oh, so 127 hours.
Yeah, like that. And then the next one was Flanders becoming a killer because Homer convinces him through a microphone in his Bible that he's God. Well, Homer's God, you know, and tells him to kill all these people for him. And in the end, it's just, it wasn't funny. Those two episodes, those two like sub sections within the episode, it just wasn't funny at all.
Yeah, I feel like there's already been so many Treehouse of War episodes where Flanders was some sort of killer or monster or something. Like, that's their whole, they love to do that joke.
Yeah, and they repeat it until it's dead. So
kind of like the show.
The show is dead. I wish it would retire. Yeah.
Same here. I wish they'd just blow out with a movie, and that I wish they just took the movie and that was it.
And then
if they ended on the movie, it would have been awesome.
And if the movie ended with them all dying,
yeah, it'd be cool, really cool,
really dramatic, really serious, touching moment for all the fans as they see the Simpsons' mangled bodies.
That would have been funny. It would have been perfect.
So, did you go to Hot Topic today, or?
I want to see them bathing in darkness.
Justin still has the Halloween spirit, and it's November.
Well, I didn't really get to do Halloween because of that stupid snowstorm.
Exactly. And I was sick that day, so I couldn't even hand out candy to the kids.
Yeah, I just sat there and watched Netflix. It was kind of depressing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. I also heard something in the radio today. It was about Justin Bieber supposedly maybe having a kid by some woman in California. There's a woman, they didn't give any names or anything. Like, I haven't looked it up on the internet, but she's claiming that she's given birth to his child. And so his company that he's working for is seeking like legal.
I'm amazed that he actually has sperm.
Oh, baby. He has a baby.
Okay. I also want to touch on, too... I also want to touch on, too, that the most recent... it was the first new season of Robot Chicken touched on Justin Bieber. It was going off like he was singing all this stuff, and I was like, oh, my God, Justin Bieber, really? Then it showed one of the cast crew. It's like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. This is cutting edge. This is about... the emotions of a lesbian. And he's like, no, that's a little boy. And he's like, oh my God, he didn't realize it was a boy. He thought it was a lesbian.
Interestingly, while we're on the subject of the Biebs, there's actually another sort of news item of interest, and that's that Congress is currently debating legislation that would make singing on YouTube a felony. It would be a felony offense to sing any copyrighted material on YouTube. Now, already, there's a lot, depending on how militant the artists are about taking their stuff down, like, there's, you know, like, Prince, for example, is extremely, extremely strict about people, like, using his music in any way. And that includes, like, for example, a video of a woman, like, and her, like, three-year-old kid is dancing along to a Prince song that's in the background. Like, it's, you can barely hear it, and that video got taken down. Well, this new legislation would go beyond that. So not only can they do takedowns now, if you actually have any video of you singing something that's copyrighted, then you can actually be sued, and it is a felony. And the reason they're calling it the Justin Bieber law, because Justin Bieber got famous by just singing other people's songs on YouTube, and that's how he was discovered. So it's funny that they're because now Justin Bieber is in the position where he could basically get someone else in serious trouble for doing what he himself did.
That is That's unbelievable. That just makes my blood boil. Just be sheer fact. All right, let's start taking down the karaoke.
Think about
karaoke
it.
Bars.
Think about us. We would be in huge trouble because think about how many times we've sung on the last couple episodes. Think about how many times we like sang copyrighted songs on this show in the last couple episodes. If that, because it's not just YouTube, obviously. YouTube would be the main sort of area, but any copyrighted material that you're singing that.
If that law, if they can prove that law is representative of the people and that serves the people, then I'll by all means go for it. But if but this does not represent the people. This represents companies and other businesses.
Sean,
what?
Do you think the government gives a shit about what the people think?
Yeah, especially these days.
No, they don't. It's just the thing is, it's wrong. It's very wrong.
It's wrong, and
it's not protecting us at all. It's not protecting anyone. It's just another money-grabbing scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to touch into this. It's like, if they do it, they should at least have some clause in there, like a grandfather law. Like, if you've already posted it on there, you're okay after a certain date. Because then that would be fair to those people that have done it. Because maybe you forgot about a video you posted on YouTube, and you're like, holy shit. Now I got to go in there and delete it or remove it, or you lost that information to your account.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. I don't see it possibly going through for a number of reasons. One is just that it's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But B, also think about the cost to the courts to actually prosecute that many people. I mean, there's millions, probably millions of videos of just normal people just singing along to their favorite songs. It would be a staggeringly huge cost to try and prosecute them. So it's just another basically terrorist tactic by the record companies, just like law suing people in the first place. You know, the whole they'll sue you if you've been downloading stuff, and they know people can't pay the insane fines that they want to impose. It's just another scare tactic. But I do want to say that even though they're kind of referring it to it jokingly as the Justin Bieber law, Bieber has nothing to do with this. It's not like he's like championing this law or has any association with it at all. They're just sort of that's the sort of name they attached it to it. So
yeah, I have no problem Bieber, whatever. You know, he got famous doing that. The fact is that they're even contemplating this law is just furious. I don't think it's gonna if it passes, I'm like,
It won't.
I fucking hate this country. if it passes, I'll be like, that's when everything goes downhill. That's when I'm fucking moving out. All right. Anyway.
Okay. That's when we move to Canada.
Yeah.
isn't Bieber from Canada?
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
Yeah. But anyways.
They'll let me sing bad renditions of. They'll let me sing bad renditions of Michael Jackson tunes on YouTube. They can't do shit because I'm in a foreign country.
Yeah. International waters, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Didn't they make a movie about like some British people going on international waters and broadcasting to radio?
Yeah, it's called Pirate Radio.
Yeah, Pirate Radio.
It is
that's
awesome.
Yeah, I like that movie.
We should do that as a review sometime, like actually talk about
that
movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
In length, because it is so good.
How about next week?
Okay.
Why not?
We can talk about it next week.
I'll watch it this week then.
It's I've seen
it. Is it on Netflix?
Like three or four times.
It's so good. It's on Netflix, right?
Is it on Netflix?
It's on HBO Go. I know that. I don't know if it's on Netflix because I don't have Netflix. But I have, you know, I have HBO Go and Blockbuster Movie Pass. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, speaking of Netflix, real quick, I just saw a commercial the other day. It was showing Blockbuster as being a strong competitor against Netflix. It's actually. Finally, it's come out that there's a competition with it, and Blockbuster was, saying that we have games, we have all these other markets, and because of our name, we can get the new releases first before anybody else, which is true.
Yeah,
they probably could.
I've been using the service for the last couple weeks, so there's some things. It's cool that I have it, and that, I mean, obviously the biggest perk is that if you're a Dish Network customer, it costs you almost nothing to add this service. I don't know what it costs without it, so I can't speak to that. So I don't know if it is actually like
they advertised it as being less than $10.
Oh, because it's only what it is. If you're already a Dish, it's just $10 to add this entire package.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, their interface for one is not anywhere near as good as Netflix. Like, they don't have, there's no instant queue, there's no recommended movies. It's just, they have it, you know, you got a list of genres, and there's maybe like 4,000 movies on there right now. So there's still, you know, obviously it's going to take some time before they get, you know, the same amount of stock.
Get their network together, pretty much.
And they don't have, you know, they don't have as many TV shows as Netflix, and they don't have as much old or obscure stuff. But for what it does offer, very good quality, very high quality with the movies in terms of the video quality. The video game thing is cool, which I don't think Netflix has that.
No, they don't. They want to do it, but
Reed Hastings said, along with when he did the whole Quickster thing, he said, we're going to try to branch out the video games. And he said it's still true when he apologized for Quickster.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that now this is if you have Dish Online, which includes the Blockbuster Movie Pass, the cool thing is that you can actually access your DVR and even watch live TV from your computer anywhere. So I could go on my computer right now and pull up, you know, Walking Dead off the DVR at home, or like, hey, what's on what's on AMC right now, and literally watch live TV on my laptop.
That's fantastic. That's the best thing they've ever done.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, it depends a lot on your internet connection, and there's getting the software to actually work it's a little finicky. But once you get it set up, it's pretty cool. I honestly wish I watched more TV. Like, I wish I was a bigger TV watcher, so that, you know, I'd actually be getting
utilize the service more.
Yeah. I mean, they need to make TV in itself, like the streaming aspect of it, mobile. They need to take that to, like, your iPhones, your iPads, and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting there, and pretty soon, it's just all TV is going to be streaming, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it's just going to be TV, internet, it's going to be one thing.
Yeah. All right, well, that's cool and all. Let's move on to our actual, let's move on with the actual topics for the show. Because I have two main ones that I'd like to discuss. And the first one, taking a little detour from what our normal topics are, because, you know, music or movies or video mm-hmm. games, I'd actually talk about writing and literature, but mainly writing. A lot of people might not know this, given that, you know, I have a lot of interest in, like, my sort of main thing on this show is music, but actually my biggest passion before everything, before music, before movies, before even doing this podcast, my biggest passion has always been writing.
This is true.
Yeah. And Colin knows this because Colin and I have been writing partners basically since as long as we've been friends. Like, that's kind of how we became friends was through working on these projects. And so, I don't talk about it a lot on this show, but more recently I've tried to really get back into the swing of things with writing. And I thought the best way to do that is to challenge myself. And that's why I am competing. Competing is a sort of a subjective word. Participating is a better word.
Yeah.
In NaNoWriMo. Now, if you're not familiar with NaNoWriMo, are you guys familiar
with it? I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I am.
I'm worried about there are plenty of people aren't. So NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month. And November is the National Novel Writing Month.
Movember.
Yes. It also happens to be
a mustache awareness for prostate cancer.
Yeah, or No Shave November. It's a busy month. We got Thanksgiving coming up, you know. Basically, it's sponsored by this nonprofit organization called Office of Letters and Light. And they do a few others event. There's one that happens in April, and it's called Script Frenzy. And it's basically the same thing as NaNoWriMo, except for screenplay and screenwriters. So what is National Novel Writing Month? As the name might imply, you have a month to write an entire novel. November 1st through the 30th, it's 30 days and nights of literary abandon. If you want to sign up, go to www.nanowrimo, that's NaNoWrimo.org. And there's only one rule. You have to produce a written work of at least 50,000 words by 11:59 p.m. on November 30th. You can choose any genre. You can write whatever you want. But what NaNoWriMo is about is forcing you to put aside all the excuses, put aside all the inhibitions, put aside all the roadblocks that prevent you from actually finishing something. Like, as I can say personally, that is the biggest obstacle to writing is time, but also just motivation.
Right.
And so this is a chance for me to basically put up or shut up. So you like, I said competition because there are winners and losers, but it's not like you're competing against each other. You're competing against yourself. So yes. If you make it, you're a winner, and you get a little certificate you can put online.
Everyone's a winner. All right.
So 50,000 words over 30 days comes out to about 1,666 words a day. Obviously, I'm already behind because I'm not writing right now. I'm doing a podcast. That's all right. It's interesting that I chose this year as my first year to do it. I've never actually entered it before. But I decided I'm going to do it. And I don't care if I'm busy because I'm busier than I've ever been. Like, I'm working more than full time. I'm working, you know,
at your chai tea latte place.
Right. I'm working well over 40 hours a week. I've got the podcast.
Yeah.
Just, you know, all the other, still trying to like actually have time to see my girlfriend. There's a lot of stuff going, but I decided
you and your
even
life.
With all that stuff, I'm going to do this and I'm committed to it. So
I'm glad you are.
I was thinking maybe I could tell you guys my idea for the novel that I'm going to write for this month.
Shoot.
And you could help me sort of tweak it or give me your feedback on it. And also, if you listeners want to email me with your critiques, your feedback, if you love it, if you hate it, if you think I should just shut up and get out of this business, you can say that too.
I will be as honest as I can.
It'll be a little hurtful, but
I dare say you'll get
You can always count honesty from Ringo.
Yeah, anyone who does, I will respond to any of those comments, including the hurtful ones, and I'll just say, hey, you try writing a novel in 30 days, and we'll see what yours is about.
Right.
Because you don't have time to sit here and plan it. You got to just start writing. So.
See, mine will start as, Sally sees dog. Dog named Spot.
I'm riveted.
Isn't it? The premise is awesome.
Right from the start.
I'm just going to tease you.
The premise of this novel is amazing.
Justin, tell us about your bookie book.
Okay, so I'll try and give you my little synopsis or elevator pitch. So, here's my synopsis. 5 years ago, Rebecca Fingers Long was the lead guitarist for one of the biggest heavy metal bands around.
Okay.
Sludge Fist.
Hold on one second.
All right, I'm riveted already.
You had me at fingers long.
Yeah.
I was like, kinky.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Now, in her mid-30s, Rebecca is burnt out, worn out, down on her luck, and on the verge of having to take a real job.
A real job?
That is, until...
No, not that one.
No. A receptionist job, where she has to cover up her tattoos, has to show up early in the morning, and worst of all, cannot listen to music at work.
Dun, 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 yes. Dun.
So, all that changes the day that her old music teacher, her old guitar teacher, shows back up in her life. And this guy, Billy Walker, was one of the greats back in, you know, the 60s and the 70s. He was like a Jeff Beck, you know, like a real virtuoso, but also not quite mainstream. And he was just a really fantastic blues guitarist. And he taught Rebecca from an early age and taught her to become the amazing shredder that she is. And so he shows up. She hasn't seen him in years. And he's looking pretty rough. So he shows up. And he's got a couple interesting things and tragic things to reveal. One is that he hurt his hand in an accident and he can't play guitar anymore because the tendon in his left hand was actually severed. So his greatest passion has been robbed from him. Second is that he's also just dying, you know.
Of a particular disease?
Some terminal illness. Probably cancer. Pick your terminal illness of choice. And so he bestows upon her his old guitar, his old, you know, classic Les Paul. Probably like, I don't know, something really classic, like a 1957 Les Paul or something. Like, it's a beaut. And he's been playing the same guitar for, you know, close to 50 years. So when he gives her this guitar, it awakens powers within her, magical powers. And Rebecca discovers that through her guitar playing, she can actually manipulate nature and the elements. She can, like, shoot lightning bolts, summon flame, do all this crazy shit through her guitar playing.
This sounds more like a graphic novel.
Yeah. It would probably be a pretty awesome graphic
novel. Does it have, like a, if it were, you know, movie-wise, it would be,
think
like...
Think Scott Pilgrim meets Star Wars.
That's what I was thinking.
Think very heavy on the Star Wars, and stylistically, definitely pulling from Scott Pilgrim. Because this Billy Walker, you know, he's like her Obi-Wan. He shows up, and he gives her his guitar. And
old Bill Walker.
She has the power within her to basically wreck heaven and earth with the power of her rock. There's a complication, though. Billy reveals to her that the reason he's showing up now out of the blue is because he's a hunted man. He's been on the run because there are other people who can use this power, he being one of them. In fact, he was an incredibly powerful one. And there's a group of people who refer to themselves as guitar mages. That name could change, but that's the name I'm working with right now. They're the guitar mages, and they're
sounds cool.
A bunch of, you know, of amazing shredders who travel around the world basically dueling each other Highlander style to see who's the best.
Can there be only one?
Well, they are attempting.
This reminds me, I'm sorry to bring up other movies that, you know, to classify your story.
I mean, that's okay, because I'm working in a very short amount of time, so obviously I got to draw from as many sources.
The movie, it was called like Jumper or something from Hayden Christensen was in it.
Yeah,
I remember like seeing trailers of that, but I never actually saw it.
He had something special, you know, he had a special power, and then there was a league of people getting rid of these people with special powers.
Yeah.
That aspect is definitely, I found very similar in what you explained to me.
I mean, I think that idea has probably been done in a lot of different places, books, movies, comics.
Okay, my question is what level of reading is this going to be? Because that's a very important thing when you're writing books, is you have to obtain to. Is this going to be like an adult book?
Are you going to dumb this down for the kids?
Or a teenager book? Or like, it's obviously not going to be a children's book.
Well, if you want,
book.
I can...
Because when you write, because I understand... What I picked up through college, what little that I've actually taken is that you have to pick the same writing level when you write something, so it can't go from teenager kind of like style, like, you know, education, you know, literature.
Well, to answer your question,
English, you know, writing skills.
I write stuff that I would want to read myself.
So,
and if you want, I can read you guys a short excerpt. You know, the first page.
But anyways,
or two.
Before you go, it's just.
But before I do that,
but it's like the word uses. Let's say if you use complicated words and then all of a sudden you use simple words in the next paragraph, it kind of throws off the. The thing, it has to be uniformed with the actual. Like,
I think we should listen like to 12th, it. I think we should listen.
You know,
to
they always have like 12th grade like writing, then they have college writing like level,
right.
And
I
then
mean,
they have
it would,
like
it would
pro.
It would be difficult for me to try and like describe my writing style without just actually just reading.
I understand so. That, but I'm just saying they do have that different level, so they classify books based upon that level.
Right,
but
I saying know, there should be consistency.
Yeah, consistency with the writing level.
I would say, you know, probably if you're a teenager if you're 18 to 35, sort of. Demographic.
I'm just giving that out there just so that you be aware of that when you're writing.
I have a question. Is there a love interest?
So I'll continue with my okay. Synopsis. Okay. So basically, she does not want to accept this power until these guitar mages show up and basically level her town. And they are resentful of her because they do not think that a woman should be able to wield this power. And this sort of commentary on, you know, the fact that rock and roll is very sexist. Because if you look at, like, for example, if you look at Rolling Stone is a terrible example to use always. Rolling Stone is terrible. But, for example, if you look at Rolling Stone's top 100 guitarists of all time, there's only one woman. There's only one female guitarist, and that's Joan Jett. And the fact is, just if you ask people who, you know, famous guitarists is, they're probably not going to name many women. I mean, because there are some, I mean, not as many, just fact, but there are plenty, but no one knows most of them. But So she's sort of contending with the fact that all these guitar mages show up and basically want to destroy her for having the audacity to wield this sacred, maybe not sacred, power. And the other thing is that they have basically, for as long as rock history, for as long as rock and roll has been around, they've been behind the scenes using their powers to manipulate the course of rock history, to manipulate rock and roll and its future. And it's kind of in a tough spot right now. Rock and roll is kind of having a hard time right now.
Yeah.
And that's because all the conflict amongst the guitar mages, they can't, like, there's no unified style anymore because there's no division. Because they used to be kind of unified. Like, Billy Walker was actually sort of their leader. And it's leader in a loose sense in that, you know, they respect him as the strongest, like they admit he's the strongest. But when you're the leader, like, everyone's always coming at you. And so the reason he gave up on it is that he just got too old and he was tired of, you know, having to fight all these young bucks. And so he renounced his claim to sort of being the leader. So she sort of has to go on the run and, you know, learn to control these powers and also to defeat the guitar mages and, you know, fight for the destiny of rock and roll. So that is the idea. That is the basic idea. I don't have a title or anything, but let me hear your guys' reactions.
Okay. It sounds like a very, very fantastic idea. And in fact, actually, when you get this book done, I'd be interested in also in a backstory too, to learn a little bit of the history. I wouldn't go into the history right now into it. I would just start off with the story, get people hooked on the idea, and then maybe touch on like a prequel to the story a little bit about how it actually came to be, maybe some history behind it.
Yeah, because like, I mean,
you know, caveman only kind of style kind of stuff, or how it touches in with the universe, and then go into other stories with it. Maybe you can have a little like smaller characters that may have not had big parts in this book now could have like their own backstory in other books. So you actually got a huge series really right there.
Right. Itself. I mean, my other friend Ben actually was helping me with some of these ideas last night.
What was her name again?
The name I'm going right now with is Rebecca Long. Her nickname is Fingers because she's so fast.
It sounds fantastic.
But I'll go ahead and sort of, you know, give away a couple plot points if you want to hear a little bit more about the history, because really what I see, I see this as sort of like an alternate history, like sort of a speculative history, historical fiction of rock and roll history. Because like I have this, you know, near encyclopedic knowledge of rock history.
Near encyclopedic.
And the thing is, the book's only, I mean, I say only, even though I've only written like, you know, 3 pages because I just started last night. But 50,000 words, that's not actually that many pages for a novel. You know, that's maybe like 100-150 pages. So obviously this is gonna be a short work. So there's fertile ground, I think, here for to go, because some of the things that will get revealed, and one is that the origin of this power. And I actually just thought of this today, because one of the big questions that I was having, like with Lena, other people I was discussing this, is like, where does the power come from? Is it like the force? Does it just exist in everyone? And I was thinking, I got it. I know where the power comes from.
Okay.
So the source of the power, because it's rock and roll, is Satan. Because, hear me out, because do you guys know the legend of Robert Johnson, The Crossroads?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Rob, if you don't know, this is
1986 movie.
There's a movie about it with Ralph Macchio.
The 1986 version, not the 2000 version with Britney Spears.
Right.
The
Ralph Macchio version. Six.
Yes.
And also, you know, Eric Clapton famously covered Crossroads, but Crossroads was originally written by Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson was this old blues guitarist, and you know he was okay. He was pretty average, and he traveled up and down what's called the Chitlin Circuit in the South for a couple years, and then he just mysteriously vanished for a couple years. No one knew what happened to him. He came back a couple years later, and he was insanely good. Like, his level of skill had gone up so dramatically that people were like, I mean, that can't be natural. So the story goes is that Robert Johnson met the devil at the crossroads. What crossroads? We don't know. It's a legend. He met the devil at the crossroads and traded his soul for this,
the ability to play the blues.
The ability to play this guitar music. And I was thinking, maybe that's the origin of this power, that not only did he trade his soul for just skill, but this supernatural power. And that power basically leaked out into the rest of the world.
I think Ben's got a question.
Yes.
Oh, I got a comment. Maybe because the devil figure's such a trickster, he added a twist to the talent of just playing good music, is that there's actually like a curse behind it. It makes it affect the nature around it. So it's actually like a curse in a way that became utilized as a power later on.
Right, and that curse is that it drives the musician to just become obsessed with competition and power obsessed and with like being that. The best and obsessed.
Yeah, so this is just an idea that originally the guy just only wanted to learn how to play music really well. But it had the twist of affecting the nature and having all like these like Jedi-like powers, you know, with affecting the world and everything else, and also driving him mad about, you know, seeking more power. So that's the curse behind it. It has its goods and its bads.
Right. And so
I don't know how you use it, but I think that's probably where I would have gone.
Yeah. And so like all the great guitar players, Clapton, Jimmy Page, you know, Eddie Van Halen, all of them.
Steve Vai,
Jimi Hendrix, they were all themselves guitar mages, like super powerful guitar mages. Just, you know, of course the public didn't know about it. But it's like this ancient
Druidic like society.
And by ancient I mean like, you know, 50, 60 years, maybe 100 years. Yeah, definitely. But they've been secretly battling, you know, all this time.
I'd like to also put in a little nerdy touch to it. This is something about physics and stuff and metaphysics and all that. That with the whole the string theory and the wave theories and stuff like that, it's all based off like vibration.
Right.
And I always had this concept of maybe plotting the human like body into sound, because I heard this kid from, this is really funny, I heard this kid in FCC, Frederick Community College, and he was a really, really smart kid, but very socially inept. Yeah, inept. And he could take music, for the most part, look at it and convert it mathematically. And he says a lot of music really is mathematically, and you can relate it with nature and stuff like that.
I mean, that's
and
very
he
true.
Really was diving really deep into it. And I thought, well, it's very possible to take the human genome, the human body, and map it into a music. You could take the math and turn it into a music form, so you could actually play the actual notes of what the human body or what makes us human into a form of like a song. Well, I was thinking, maybe you can also have the powers to heal. They could use that. They've learned that through like maybe some scientific way that you can do this, because there has some like some relation with this deep, you know, universal connection.
I mean, there is an actual field of medical research called music therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, maybe in a more actual, tangible, literal sense than this, but maybe, you know, like because all the guitar mages mostly have been male. I mean, there have been other female ones. Like, she wouldn't be the first, because there's you know, Lita Ford, Joan Jett would also have been female guitar mages. But it's also commentary on the difference between men and women, and the men are really just concerned in using it to destroy, and no one's really tried using this power to heal. But you know who I was actually thinking would be like the main villain, like the main boss sort of, would be Buckethead, or some like parody of Buckethead, because he would make a good villain. Like some guy that you've like who's really weird that you've never seen his face, but he's so unbeatably good that like
Michelangelo, put a buck on his head.
I want to parody him in there somehow. Like he's definitely there'll be some parody of him in there somehow, because he's so ridiculous. Like he's so good, but it's to the point where you can't even really enjoy the music, because it's so fast, it's so ridiculously good. It's honestly my same
feeling. The beginning of Speed Kills and the No Boundaries. The beginning's awesome when he hits that note and he kind of rides on the notes a little bit, and near the end where he has this kind of pattern, but throughout of it is just kind of like whipping his dick out and throwing it around.
It this whole thing is a dick measuring contest. Yeah. It really is.
And I can see envy. Honestly, I can actually see that in your thing. Like he's gotten so much power that it's overwhelming.
Right,
in that,
like
in that
he's
fact.
So good, but he's not actually making music. It that's
starts,
accessible.
It uses the power to the point where it becomes destructive, and that's what his power is. I can see that totally. Like as the guy, he's so damn good that, yet he's lost that
self destructive.
Yeah, it's just boom. It just instantly wants to destroy everything.
Right, and the other thing is that when a guitar mage uses the same, if he uses the same guitar for long enough, his power starts actually getting like stored in the guitar.
Well, yeah, there's some sense of that too. Just in this real world about things connecting with people, like, you know, they'd always talk about, at least what I hear when poltergeists and ghosts and stuff like that, certain objects become like have the essence of the person.
Right. So when Billy Walker gives Rebecca his guitar, he's been playing this guitar for like 50 years. So it's got almost all of his energy is stored in this guitar. And that's the reason everyone's hunting him because they want this guitar because it's like one of the most powerful guitars in the world.
Oh man, I can tell you right now.
It sounds awesome.
I if this ever was a graphic novel, I just envision like one of the panels in my head. Yeah. I can imagine like a group of guitar mages in the sky. They all got like flying V's.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like thunder and lightning behind them. And then Rebecca comes out of nowhere with this classic Les Paul. And she's like, let's dance, motherfuckers.
Right. And like, this also one of the inspirations for this was the game Brutal Legend. But the thing is, Brutal Legend sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Because like, I'm sure I'll get a lot of people coming like, you're just like ripping off Brutal Legend with like the magic guitars and like all in the rock. Like alternate
world. It was very
like,
corny.
It's like the thing is like Brutal. I was so disappointed. You don't have any idea how disappointed I was in Brutal Legend, because when I heard about this game, I was like, this is the coolest fucking concept ever. Like they're gonna like go into album covers, because like the artwork for the game was supposed to be like was album art, and like, you know, like Metallica and Megadeth and Slayer, all those classic yeah. album covers. That's not what it ended up being. It ended up like just being this really boring like open. They made it open world like that. I hate it when gamers or game designers think that, oh, if we make this open world, it's going to be better. But then the world is boring and flat. And also, it had Jack Black. And it was an RTS for some reason.
Because it was a Tim Schafer game. What do you want?
Right. But, I mean, Tim Schafer, like, you know, like Psychonauts, I mean, that game is brilliant. And
yes, it is.
So there was so much potential.
He blew his load too early in his career.
Yeah. That's like, so when I played Brutal Legend, I didn't even finish the game. I got halfway through and I was like, I'm taking this back. Like, this sucks. And this is such a cool idea that someone has to take this and run with it and do it better.
Hopefully that person will be you.
Yeah, not in a video game at least, but like, I think this will be a cool story. And so that's what I'm going to be working on. So we're pretty long on time. So I don't think we're going to get to the album review at this point. So if you want, I can read you a short excerpt if you want to, or if you don't.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Let me bring it up. I'll read like the first page or two. All right. So there's. I don't have a title yet. Maybe you guys can help me come up with a title too, but that'll probably save to the end. All right. Rebecca Long reached for the can of National Bohemian on the coffee table and was dismayed to find that it was empty. She crushed it in her hand and tossed it casually over her shoulder, where it landed somewhere in the general vicinity of the trash can in the kitchen. As far as she was concerned, close only counted in horseshoes, hand grenades, and disposing of garbage. She had no intention of taking out the trash at any rate. She leaned over the side of the couch, an ancient gray relic bearing the stains of many a rager, and started digging around in the mini-fridge from her precarious position on the armrest. Her dismay turned to outright anger when she came back with only a half gallon of expired milk and a small carton of old vegetable fried rice. Her hand was not only empty, but sticky with some foreign substance whose identity she would rather not know. "Carl, what the shit?" she yelled. "We're out of beer. This is just one of many responsibilities that fall under your jurisdiction that you have failed to uphold." From down the hall there came a muffled, "God dang it," and a lot of grumbling as Carl extricated himself from whatever foul cocoon he slept in and came out to address Rebecca's complaint. He had what would once have been called an athletic build, but now resembled a lowercase b on legs. He was wearing a Three Wolf Moon t-shirt, and nothing else. There appeared to be a few Cheetos fragments clinging to the dense forest between his legs. "I never agreed to that stupid job chart you put on the wall, Rebecca," Carl said indignantly. "You just tacked it up without even asking me, so get your own damn beer." "Are you forgetting who pays the rent here, asshole?" Rebecca asked. She gestured at the job chart hanging next to the poster of Icarus, the logo of Led Zeppelin's Swan Song record label. The chart was divided into two columns, Carl's name on the left and Rebecca's name on the right. The left contained a list of over a dozen items, which continued to expand as Rebecca saw fit, which included such items as take out trash, buy beer, do dishes, pack a bowl, and massages. The right column included exactly one item, keep roof overhead. Underneath, someone had drawn a crude phallus and an arrow connecting it to a stick figure, which she presumed was meant to be her, since it had long hair and circles for breasts. Carl replied, "Just because I'm in a tough spot financially right now doesn't mean you can treat me like a second-class citizen. I have rights. You know what, Carl? I'm adding another responsibility to your job list." She got up and walked over to the job chart. She grabbed the marker that was hanging from a thumbtack next to it and wrote "wear pants" underneath the last item, which was "clean toilet pole after trimming pubes." Apparently, Carl had chosen to protest this rule in the most passive-aggressive way possible by simply letting his pubic hair grow to the point where his crotch was starting to develop its own ecosystem. When Carl saw what she had written, he said, "You bitch. Now you're hitting me where I live." Well, it's also where I live, she pointed out. I'd like to be able to sit in my living room without being physically repulsed. Then maybe you should clean it once in a while, Carl said while looking around the room. Besides, it's not like there's anything you haven't seen. As if it were necessary to illustrate, he waved his hand in front of his crotch like a Price is Right model. Carl, I'm pretty sure what's growing down there, modern medical science hasn't even seen, Rebecca said flatly. She picked up another beer can and tossed it at him, missing wide. Now go buy the fucking beer. Carl gave a mock bow and said, Yes, Your Highness. He started to walk towards the front door, then paused and returned to his room momentarily. He came out and tossed a can of Keystone Light to Rebecca as he walked past her and went out the door. She shrugged, then popped the tab and took a generous swig. Her lips curled in disgust, but she did not stop drinking it. The television was paused on an episode of a cartoon she had watched in middle school. Discovering it on Netflix had thus far been the most exciting thing that had happened that week. She chose not to dwell on the fact that she was 34 and getting excited about watching an admittedly subpar episode. Watching an admittedly subpar cartoon series while her two-bedroom apartment decayed around her. Based on her instant cue and her recently watched, she wondered if the people at Netflix thought that she and her roommate were developmentally disabled. Then again, Rain Man had better taste in television shows than she did, so what did that say about her? All right, I'm gonna go ahead and stop right there.
I like it.
So that's what I've written a little bit more than that, but that sort of gives you an idea of the style and the tone that I'm going for.
That's cool.
I like it. It's gradually descriptive, and it definitely you get a picture. You definitely paint the picture.
I'm really trying to paint a picture of that guy's pubes.
Well, yeah. And it has this disgusting feel, which if for people who haven't went through living on their own in college, and if they did, you know, if they did living on their own, they know, and if they had roommates, they know that this nasty shit happens.
Yeah, it's my hope that you'll be able to visualize it, and you'll actually be able to smell those Cheetos fragments in Carl's pubes.
When you were describing that, I was smelling the disgusting nastiness, and I started like wistfully going back in the locations at college. I'm like, as you were describing, I'm like, ugh, this is he's a slob.
Okay, I clean. I'll just let the audience know. I clean houses for a living. I own a cleaning business, so yeah, I'm totally there in your description. So.
All right,
I've been there, seen that, had to clean it up. That's even the worst part.
I like it. I want the book when it comes out.
Yep.
I will purchase a copy.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are enjoying this and supporting me in my endeavors. And hopefully none of you were eating at home while I was reading that excerpt.
Or in the car.
But I assure you it won't all be that gross. But I figured, you know, get their attention early. And the best way to do that is to shock them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know I kind of took over this episode here.
But, it's quite all right.
That's fine.
Is there any other?
Not like anyone prepared.
Yeah, we didn't.
Okay. What do we have on the time?
Well, 53.
Okay. There's no room, I guess, for review then.
Yeah. No. I'll save my review of Grizzly Bear.
I got something. Till next week, if I may.
Go on.
Live show Friday.
Yeah.
John Mancini Band at 8x10 Club.
At the 8x10 in Baltimore. I think that's on, it's near Federal Hill. It's a little bit above it. Just type Google 8x10 Baltimore.
You'll find it.
Use your brain and type it in Google.
Hopefully we'll have this up by that time though, because of the whole URL thing.
If we don't have the episode up by then, I'm gonna pretty much plaster it all over the Facebook.
But we will be there. I mean, the pre-tickets are available at the 8x10 website, so you can pre-purchase your tickets at a discounted rate. Or you can just pay the door fee, which is not that much. It is a hole in the wall. That's the reason why they call it 8x10.
Yeah, and if you come, look for us, because we'll all be wearing our Boldly Going Nowhere t-shirts.
If you see us from the back, it'll be, as you said before, the four horsemen of the Nerdpocalypse, and the front will say Boldly Going Nowhere. So it'll be really awesome to just see some fans coming out to the show. And plus, John Mancini Band and the guys they open for, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, right. John Mancini Band's pretty epic. I would suggest anyone who can go see that, go see it.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yes.
All right. Well, the last thing before we wrap this up, I just want to remind all the listeners about our new segment, which we're all really excited about. stump a Star Wars nerd.
Yes.
This is going to be awesome because we had a lot of fun with it, doing our sort of prototype or test round. But we don't want it to be just us having this fun.
That's right.
We want to get you guys involved. So Colin, tell them about Stump a Star Wars Nerd and how they can get
participate. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and on Sundays when we record our episode, at least the beginning of the next week's episode.
Yep.
What we'll do is I'm going to go ahead and post up a message on the Twitter account and on the Facebook feed. If you're watching that, we're going to be posting a Ustream link. And once that Ustream goes live, you'll be able to watch a live recording. We'll basically, as soon as we put that up, we'll put up a Skype address. First person in on Skype is going to be that week's contestant.
Can I mention the Skype address?
By all means.
Ewok off a bridge. Ewok off OFF a bridge.
Do we have a rim shot sound effect anywhere?
Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
That's my Skype name. So yeah. We're just going to use my Skype.
Okay, so
that works perfect.
Basically what you'll need to do is once we put up that Ustream and once we say we're taking contestants, that's when you'll want to Skype us. First come, first serve. And what I'm thinking we'll do is at least once a month,
yeah,
we will go ahead and, because Skype chat, we can put in more than one person, right?
Definitely. No phone calls, though, just for the sheer fact that...
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have the money to pay for Skype.
No. I mean, no. So I'm talking like the voice chats.
Voice chat, yeah. Everything will be hooked up and we can do it right. Everybody
so
at once.
So what I'm thinking is what we can do...
If this doesn't work out, Google Hangout, you can do multiple people.
Yeah. So what we'll do is this. I think this would be fair for everyone.
Yeah.
Is we will... The first three episodes,
yeah,
will be individual, you know, and then at the end of the month, we'll do all four contestants, like so. For instance, this month, all four winners basically. So like for instance, this month already, like I won last week, so I'd be in it, and then whoever's involved in the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
And I think we can scrape together a prize or something.
Yeah. Like a sticker.
Like a Billy Going Nowhere sticker.
I mean, the more people we have participating, the more incentive we'll have to get a cool prize. Now, the other thing is that if you don't actually want to be a contestant on Stump a Star Wars Nerd, you can still help us out by submitting us questions. Now, because currently, right now, the only thing we're having to work with is the ultimate unauthorized Star Wars trivia. But
challenge.
But it's kind of hit and miss because it's all over the place in terms of difficulty.
And it's only the first three, and they're all based on the movies.
Yeah, it's only the first three. Now we would prefer if your questions are only in the first three, but we will not. We will take questions about the other.
When we say the first three, we mean four, five, and six, obviously.
Yeah. The other thing is the book also has a lot of questions that are about like the behind the scenes stuff, like. Who was George Lucas's producer's dog? Or, like, what was the budget for the craft services on Empire Strikes Back? It's like, we just want questions about the actual, like, story and the characters in the movies. Like, I don't care what kind of lens.
Questions like, what planet did Chewbacca come from?
Kishi. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It's expanded. We'll accept expanded universe
questions.
We will
also accept expanded universe stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's preferably if it's pre,
Timothy Zahn.
Yeah, especially if it's pre New Jedi Order series. If it's New Jedi Order stuff, I personally am not going to have anything to do with it. But you know.
Same here. If it's off the Timothy Zahn novels and what's ever around the written around the
then
that
yes.
time that
yeah.
time frame in terms of Star Wars timeline, then yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So if you want to do that. Send us an email at bgnpodcast@gmail.com and just put Star Wars somewhere in the subject line, and then give us your questions as few or as many as you want, and we'll definitely use them, and we'll attribute them to you.
All right, I think that's a show.
Awesome. Well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I am Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production.
Check us out at facebook.com/bgnpodcast and at Twitter @bgnpodcasts.
Email us at bgmpodcast@gmail.com.
Check out castwavestudios.com for more information.